All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Big Cavs Geek Stuff, episode 47.
Or sick stuff. You know, whatever.
It's more like sore stuff.
Ew.
My throat's a little... I could do it way down here. But then I used Barry White last week in episode 46, Valentine's Day. So it would be kind of redundant for me to use it again.
That joke's so played out.
Shut up. You're played out. XM. This Saturday on channel 202 from 11 to midnight.
Yep, they've given us a second go at it. So I'm promising at least 58 minutes of sideshow toy review.
Wow. Have you been telling that to people? That
no, but it'd be really funny.
In the studio with us tonight,
special guest
is Bilbo Baggins. Hello, Bilbo.
Hello.
Actually, it's Matt from Automatic Comics in the UK.
Good
as
evening.
They say, because we haven't had enough Brits on the show in the last 2 weeks.
It's true.
We figure let's get one more. Let's squeeze one more in there. Just push him in.
Well, after having Adrian Farner for 2 weeks,
yes.
We finished.
Figured, Adrian, you know. Forner. And his house just grumbles.
Indeed.
To do his English accent.
Exactly.
Or his American accent.
Lord Gravyblood.
Lord Gravyblood?
Yep.
Is that one of his characters from...
his life, yes.
Really?
Yep.
Sounds like somebody's jealous of a fellow Brit making it in the U.S.
Just a scotch. Saying.
That's all I'm saying. How are you, Matt?
I'm good, thanks. Tired.
How was the trip over?
Slept most of it. Best way, really.
And you are buying a lot of toys, I see.
A couple.
A couple.
Handfuls here and there.
Two humongous bags full in my car.
I do not have as many toys as you, Kev. Well,
nobody has
I've
as many toys as
I've seen a bit of the
him.
Vault well, so far, and I'm quite scared.
I know, and later on we're going to hopefully get you the rest of the tour of... Big Kev's Geek Stuff product archive.
That's right. We
Paco, of course, will be able to guide you expertly through the maze that is the archive.
I'd have thought you'd sorted out like a walkie-talkie headset that you put on, and it's got a little pre-recorded MP3 of the whole sort of archive.
Kind of like, yeah,
little,
like a recorded
Kodak
tour.
Spots
like a
stop
recorded
take.
Tour. Nice.
That's awesome.
We got to look into that for the future.
Of that.
$10 a ticket, you know.
See, we should say also that although we can't say much, the authorities have made some progress on the break-in to the archive.
Oh, have they really?
And
I
haven't heard this update yet.
Yeah.
Well, don't if you you know we can't say anything for legal
no names,
reasons.
But you can go and steal his Muppet script.
Yes. So,
wow.
There you go. I don't want to say anything. I don't
no.
mention any names.
No.
He's a lovely man.
Yes.
And we'll see him actually in San Diego, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, brilliant. There. Yeah, we saw him last summer.
We're going to do obviously tonight is going to be an abbreviated version of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Because we have the Big XM show this week, we don't want to, as they say, blow our wad on this show tonight.
Well.
So we're going to do a couple of things. We have a couple of sound bites we picked up at Toy Fair.
We did.
We have a very, very special guest who we're going to be calling later on.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have an interview with Robert Tonner.
We do.
From the Tonner Figure Company.
Robert, a very nice man. It was very good of him to give us an interview at Toy Fair.
Yes, he sat down with us, and we're going to play that interview to close us out. And then, of course, you can tune in this Saturday night, 11 to midnight, on XM Channel 202, The Virus, and hear us live with all your regular news and whatever sort of special features we may happen to have.
We have a handful. And I know a couple of you have sent me some messages via email and MySpace asking, you know, what do we have in store this time? And what are the surprises this time? And I'm not telling you shit. You got to listen.
Yeah.
Got to listen.
Mostly because there's nothing.
Oh, shush. There is. We've got ideas. We came up with some of the ideas at Toy Fair, as a matter of fact.
Well, that one idea.
Yeah.
Involves actually Automatic Matt over there.
Hey, does Matt know that?
Matt does know that he's involved.
Yes.
He doesn't know what it is.
Ah, excellent. Well, I'm sure you'll enjoy yourself,
and
I promise.
We're not telling him.
No, good. So, it'll be a surprise for everybody then.
It will,
when I'm
it
with
will.
You guys, I always enjoy myself.
This will be putting
will it be broadcastable?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Hopefully.
Yeah.
You'll be on camera too, so
ooh.
It'll be live.
The world can see you.
It's exactly how many piece of crap Toy Biz figures can you jam up your rear in the time allotted?
Wow.
Since they came out of there.
That sounds like a Bandai project.
Right. So let's get right into it with our first sound clip. One of the things we wanted to do, and one of the things we always strive to do, is bring you the word directly from the mouths of horses.
Wow, that's a little rough. I don't know if I'd call them horses. I mean, I suppose it's better than jackasses, but...
And this is no exception. A couple of guys who were touring us around, and regrettably, I can't give you their names because apparently my notes on that are incomplete. But we should say that these were Hasbro representatives mm-hmm. who were answering questions.
Right.
And one of the questions that we pitched to both the Hasbro people that we spoke to when we did our tour of Hasbro at Toy Fair, you know, you kind of went in groups, and you went, you know, like this group went to see all the Spider-Man movie stuff and Marvel stuff, and then while the other group was at Star Wars and so on and so on. So while we were at the movie area,
right,
we saw that they had rescaled the figures down to that 4-inch or 3¾-inch or whatever it's going to be.
You mean the Spider-Man movie area?
This right. is actually the fellow who was talking to us about Spider-Man mm-hmm. as a property. And about, so we figured let's ask the guy what he thinks about scale and why they change it. So here's the clip.
Can you comment on the decision to go from a 6-inch line with the movie figures down to a, looks like about a 4-inch line there?
Five inch. We have a 5-inch line for a movie. A lot of times what companies do when we have a movie is we want to do a different scale in a different way just to differentiate from what the traditional line used to be. We also spend a lot of time talking with kids. With our target audience, and this is a good schedule. As a movie skews kind of a wider age range than it normally does. You know, when we talked with boys, this was the best balance of giving them the styling, the feature, and the look that they wanted. So there's a combination of all those things that took us to the scale for movie.
Excellent. Thanks.
Okay, so...
Well...
Did that guy say a whole bunch of nothing, or is it just me?
No, he said something, although I think most of it was a bunch of hooey, if I may be so bold.
He said that they've gone to a 5-inch line. It didn't look 5 inches to me.
It was like 4½, 4¾, maybe.
It's near enough Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And what he said was that a lot of times what companies do is they scale figures different for movie lines, you know, because that's what they do. But
I've seen that done 100 million times. Never.
Yeah, I've never seen that done, ever.
Kev, when I was a kid, I couldn't wait for a company to come out with a movie line of a former comic line in a different scale, just so I couldn't play with my old figures.
Exactly.
And that's talking from the perspective of a child, because I'm a big child.
Right. No, it's true. I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever for them to go from a 6-inch line to a, according to them, 5-inch line. I'm saying it's 4-inch because I saw
4.5.
I don't even think they were that. He said what they like to do is to differentiate these figures from your regular 6-inch line. Why would you do that?
Play value. So you can't play with them.
But
so no value.
Doesn't the sheer and simple fact that they're different characters or different representations of the same characters differentiate them from the original line? Do they need to have a scale change?
Not only that, but you're definitely not playing with the figures that you already have with these figures, if we're talking about purely play value, which is why they have gone back in the first line and they're doing Green Goblin and they're doing Doc Ock.
Of course, so that they have a full scale.
Right.
They're all the same scale.
He also said that that you know they've talked to kids and this is what kids want. Really? Kids want smaller toys? I've never heard in my life a kid say, I think what I want here is a smaller toy.
You know, this is one of the, this is one of those studies where I'd love to be an observer, because I'd be willing to bet they probably dumped a box of small toys in the middle of the room, and the kids just went apeshit for them, because that's what was in the middle of the room.
Yeah.
Had they dumped a box of bigger toys in the middle of the room, I'm guessing same amount of apeshitness.
And not only that, but, you know, this is another one of those tactics where they claim to be doing research. You know, like when we talked to them years ago, we talked to actually Mattel years ago, and they told us that they were doing market research, and we asked how they did this. They said they dumped a bunch of Batman toys on the table, and it had one Joker in the pile, and everybody picked up a Batman toy. Well, of course, there's 400 Batmans and one Joker. And what this led them to believe was that the kids wanted more Batmans. Thus, they justified making more kitchen sink style Batmans.
Right.
In the pretty colors, of course.
Yeah. And that sort of it's even less justified here because he's just saying, yeah, this is what the boys told us that they wanted. I think what we need to do is some field work here, Matt. We need to take a mic into the field and go, do you want smaller toys, kid? Do you want smaller toys, kid? Do you want smaller toys? I'm willing to bet.
We should do it at Comic-Con.
I don't think it's got anything to do with the price of plastic either, though.
He didn't even mention that. No? He mentioned this as a purely... They mentioned this purely as a decision based on their research of boys.
You know what? To be completely honest with you, even though I would have found that to be just as much bullshit, the price of plastic, if he had said to me, look, it's more cost effective for us to produce a smaller scale figure, I'd almost respect that decision more than this decision, because that decision at least sounds like it has sound business sense.
Yeah.
This other one sounds like it's, we just feel like changing it because we can.
All right, let's go into the second clip here. Now we've moved on.
Right.
We moved over to the Marvel Legends area where they actually had the Fantastic Four 2 action figures right next to the lack of Marvel Legends that they had on display at Hasbro. And
so they're embarrassed by
them. Well, if they were embarrassed by them, they wouldn't have put up the first wave, which is what they put up, and one piece from the second wave.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
Oh, Thor.
Oh, boy.
But we saw more than that at Comic-Con.
I know. This is what we don't understand.
God of Chunder.
Supposedly, we're going to see more this weekend.
Really?
That's the rumor.
Yeah.
Ooh, joy.
Well, let's hear it. Now, this is a different gentleman from Hasbro who we posed the same question to about scale. And watch as I completely catch him in a lie.
Is the trend to go down in scale from the 6-inch scale that's been very popular for the last several years?
No, it's not. The trend isn't to go down in scale. It's to do what's most appropriate, both for kids and for collectors. So behind the movie lines, as you can see what we're doing for Spider-Man and for Fantastic Four, we've kind of gone after the 5-inch scale with action features for the most part. But then within things like Legends lines that are more collector-based, like a Ghost Rider, we've stayed with the traditional 6-inch scale that we know collectors like.
Right, but the Ghost Rider's a movie line.
Correct. Yeah, and the movie itself is more targeted towards an older age consumer versus something like a Fantastic Four, which is definitely a great, you know, family movie.
OK,
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, so if you've never heard a guy stammer his way through a bullshit answer before.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that he had any clue what he was talking about. I think they put him in a suit and tie, and they said, you're going to be in charge of this section of the showroom. Go, and like threw him to the wolves.
They gave him one sheet of A4 telling him what the figures were called, but that's about it.
He didn't even have that.
Really?
No, he actually did know that they were Fantastic Four. I was proud of him, but...
It's, you know, it seemed to me, he said that that this was appropriate, doing this is appropriate for all the collector base and for the kids. And I'm like,
where is that market research coming from?
Where is that? Yeah, where is that? That's the same kind of thing they're trying to pass off with Spider-Man.
What collector out there is saying, I have an entire 6-inch line of figures. Now I want a 5-inch line or a 4.5-inch line of figures that won't look right on my display.
I know those collectors. They're the ones who've got them all on their shelves and want to be able to see all their older figures. But the ones at the front are smaller so they can see the heads of the older ones.
All right.
It's them.
You know what?
Both of you out there somewhere.
Well, apparently Marvel Legends is not targeted towards kids. It's only targeted towards a collector base because that's what they're going for. And then, of course, when I brought up the fact that he actually brought it up first, he said lines that are aimed more at collectors like Ghost Rider. But he had just said that the movie lines were more targeted at kids. So when I said to him, but Ghost Rider's a movie, he kind of threw his answer to justify that and to say that Ghost Rider is a more adult-oriented movie as opposed to the Fantastic Four 2, which is a fun family film or whatever it is that he said.
It makes no sense.
Their justification for doing smaller figures is that they're from the movies. Then why do Ghost Rider as a 6-inch line?
Yeah, I don't.
Because they'd be working on that earlier. Because toy
crap
them, yeah, your friends had been working on that line before Hasbro took it over.
Yeah, okay, I'll accept that. If they had said that, that would be fine. You know, if they'd say, "Well, this
but
is,"
they
something...
can't say that because they've made the toys, not toy people,
right?
Right. Sorry, Marvel Toys. Yeah, they can't call them Toy Thingy anymore.
Marvel Toys, who yes. make no Marvel Toys. Right?
Correct. Then.
You know, and the more I try to think about this, and I try to like follow their justification for this, isn't the general idea of children's toys, right? Younger audience toys, to be bigger, blockier, so that there's less risk of choking or whatever. So why would you why would you make them smaller?
Well, that's because that's what their research shows that the boys want.
Yeah, to be able to choke on their toys.
Because if you because if you throw 3 3/4, 4-inch figures in front of somebody and go, "Hey, you want these?" and they're in a white room with nothing else in the room.
That's exactly.
And they go, "Yeah, we want these." I mean, yeah. it's the worst research ever.
If there even is research, I'm still not convinced that there is research. But
if any big toy company wants to take us and show us a research day, we'd love to do it.
I would love to be a witness to this incredible research that they do.
I'd even be a silent observer. I'd be willing to shut up for the 10 seconds that they're holding their research. If
cool
I can comment later,
I think we should. Yeah, I just think we should do it ourselves. We should hire one of those companies that do market research, and we should have them bring in the kids, and we'll do market research, and we'll see if our research matches their research.
You know what? You could be like the toy Willy Wonka. We can give out golden tickets. We can get a bunch of little kids, let them into the product archive, and see which ones they go for, big or small.
I can't wait to see how we'd lose them, too. And Paco and the other Oompa Loompas would have to take their parents away every so often.
Paco just look impressed.
No, Paco never looks impressed.
That's it. We're gonna give out a golden chase figure.
Yeah.
1 in every 10 cases.
I've got a golden chase figure. I've got a golden chance to visit the archive.
Exactly.
No.
Why? Can we move away from this and onto whatever the next clip is?
Yes, we can.
From somebody else. Lego have already done that with their Lego 3PO.
Yes, you just get the golden 3PO then.
Ooh, big golden rod.
You don't get the tour of the archive anything like that.
Okay, so then we were talking to Daryl DePriest, who's the director of Boys, director of marketing for Boys Toys. And basically, my understanding is that he is overseeing Star Wars. and he is an army builder, just like me, which is why I'm guessing that we get every single type of clone trooper there is, including a few that they're just making up on the fly, and I'm fine with that. So let's hear what Daryl had to say about Star Wars and troops.
When we pack something one per case, it doesn't necessarily mean that we don't feel that that's going to be the best figure. You have to look at a kind of a bigger scenario with Star Wars. Our figure sales have been, knock on wood, so hot lately that our tooling capacity only limits us to be able to make so many figures a week. So if I actually spec two per case, it hamstrings us in our ability to deliver more figures to the market. So what usually the one per cases mean, like on a troop builder, you will see that figure in subsequent wave after wave after wave. So it means, you know, you may only get, sure, one out of the case, but you can bet we're going to have it.
But more are coming.
More are coming, so don't worry. So you kind of have to look at the bigger picture a little bit and how we manage the figures that you know, we want to put out. So it's not necessarily indicative of how we feel a figure's going to do. Scorch is a great example. Well, from last year, you know, we put Scorch out as many as we could possibly manufacture, and then we kept chasing them, you know, all year. Cody the same way. So, you know, eventually we got those out. It just took a while for everyone to get them. So
is it that you're responding to the whole sort of troop movement, builder kind of collector, that you're putting out so many different clones and troop types?
Absolutely. That's one of the core strengths of Star Wars. It's armies. It's, you know, titanic armies of good versus evil with very important core central heroes. But, you know, it's the Jedi and the Sith are very important to the story. But you've got to have, you know, the massive armada fighting on either side. So we definitely want to turn our attention to, well, not only make sure that we've got stormtroopers and sandtroopers and the most iconic ones out there, but also now with Episode 3, the door has been blown open to specific battalion deco, and we want to make sure that we, you know, get a rich, you know, mix of those, exciting mix of those in the line. And the Force Unleashed video game is going to tap into some of those things too, so you'll be seeing some, you know, some cool new stuff with there and troop builders.
Oh, of that, I'm sure. Are you going to continue also doing the 6 or 7 figure box sets, specialty box sets that you've been doing?
Yeah, we see the multi-figure box sets like the Imperial Briefing Room scene or the Republic Commando scene as great things that we can do for that kind of market, the collector's market, not necessarily mass retailers. We plan to continue that model, you know, as long as collectors show an appreciation for the kind of figures we're delivering. It seems like, you know, the Imperial Briefing Room scene has been, you know, a very well-received set.
Gone.
Yeah. So, and that, you know, we want to look at more things like that, you know, down the road. So keep the feedback coming on, you know, what would, you know.
All right. Excellent. Thanks.
So that was Daryl DePriest talking a bit with us about Star Wars. And what he was saying there, what I had brought up to him, was that some of the troopers, mm-hmm. when they first hit, are one per case.
Sure.
And what he said is that they need more time to tool those figures, so that rather than it being one per case early in the wave, as the waves go on, they kind of trickle them into the waves. They keep producing them, so that eventually you'll be able to get more of
them.
That's
fair enough. I mean, last year was a killer for Vader's. That was the big paywall last year, and it was all the same bloody sculpt.
Right.
Was that 500th Vader reissued 3 times last year, and like 2 per case every time?
Right, and it seems like that this guy is very supportive, himself being a troop builder. He's very supportive of you being able to get. Now, myself as a troop builder, I do everything in sixes.
Right.
So I keep one closed, and then I have a squad of 5. For just generic troops. Characters like Cody, I would get 1 in and 1 out.
Right.
So then it makes sense that, you know, I'm looking for
at
times 5 or 6 of these regular troops, and they're very difficult to find, especially if they come low packed early on.
Well, the first wave this year that's coming out has already hit the UK.
Right.
And the Galactic Marine and the Airborne are both 2s per case.
Right.
But the Bane Kenobi is going to clog up them pegs because it's poo.
Really?
Yep.
Bad.
Looks like an adult sex doll.
Because wow. He's got
a big open mouth to put the breather in, which is a nice idea, but it looks wrong.
Wow.
He also mentioned the fact that the box sets, specialty box sets, are going to continue so long as there's fan appreciation, which translates into as long as people keep buying this shit.
Well, they sell out really, really quick. I mean, you know, you see one or two of them on the shelf, and within a couple hours or within a couple days, they're gone, and then they come in again, and they're gone again. So I don't think they're going to have a hard time moving them as long as what they're putting in the sets makes sense to the collector.
Yeah. The Republic Commander box set vanished at wholesale in the UK in a day. They came in, the spares had already gone and been ordered before they'd even hit the shelves.
Yeah, I need another one of those, too. I have to pick one up at Comic-Con.
You know, probably get them online, because it's not online exclusive.
Yeah.
But they hit retail in the UK through Diamond, and they went.
Very quickly.
Huh. Yeah. I mean, the Imperial Briefing Room set will sell, but it's not like you're going to buy 50 of them, because you want all 50 of billion of the old blokes in grey. Right. They will sell.
Well, in their defense, in Hasbro's defense, their box sets, even when they were only two or three figure box sets, they've always sold well.
They've been good value.
Yeah, I mean, they always have. I mean, even, you know, back in the, I mean, as far as the newer figures goes, back in the yellow, the red and green card.
Oh, the cinema scenes.
Yeah.
The three packs.
Those are always fantastic. They always sold really well.
Right.
A couple of them were really hard to find right from the get-go.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I think there definitely is an audience for that kind of thing.
Just do more with Stormtroopers and stuff. I mean, there's the one coming out soon, isn't there? The Tanti 4 box set.
Yes.
Vader 2.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
But that could have just been a box with five Stormtroopers in it, happily.
It's amazing that Hasbro is able to do such diverse and fan-responsive things, and being able to respond to the fans on what they want with Star Wars, yet on every other line they seem to just not give a shit.
Do you think it's because Star Wars has a broader fan base than some of the other stuff?
Well, I think that's part of the appeal. But
so the there's more money involved, I think is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, but, you know, any line could be that way. Marvel Legends could be that way.
But what I'm saying is, a toy collector, right, or a comic book collector is really interested in Marvel Legends figures, right? But for every guy that's just interested in Marvel Legends figures, there's probably about 20 guys who are just Star Wars people, who are just Star Wars collectors. So the market is huge compared to that Marvel, I think at least, that it's huge compared to that Marvel Legends or even Marvel movie figures. And so it makes more sense for them to put that much more product out there.
You know who used to be a big Star Wars collector, Matt?
No.
That one.
Really?
Yeah.
You quit.
I quit too. Just Fett now, as you have mentioned a couple of times on previous shows.
Yes.
Fett is it.
Yeah.
Episode one killed me.
He's a Fett fanatic.
See? Episode one killed him. That's what killed me. I went poor. I didn't eat for a couple of days.
I bought the first wave at about $30 a figure, 2.5 months before they hit the shelves.
Well, you're
and
just
then when
crazy.
The movie came out, 2 weeks before the movie came out, I sold them all.
Did we?
And still made a profit.
Did we see episode two or episode three figures before they hit?
We saw episode two figures about 2 or 3 weeks before they were supposed to hit. There's this little local store by us, and I don't want to blow up their spot, so I'm not going to mention their name.
Who put it out before?
Who put
street.
It out way early? Wait, and when we walked in there and we were like, you know, these are street dated and it's Lucas
read?
Stuff. They were like, yeah, we don't care.
Which is fine.
Every case has in big red lettering the street date on it and do not put on shelves.
You know what? These guys, and trust me, if you ever went into this store, you'd be like, yeah, these guys just don't care.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And it's a big store too. I mean, it's not like a local comic store. It's a big toy store. So
yeah.
Well, we brought up the sore topic of Star Wars Unleashed with Daryl DePriest also.
We did.
And let's hear what he had to say about Star Wars, the future of Star Wars Unleashed.
Let's.
Can you tell us, is there any word on Unleashed coming back in the large scale?
We're going to get one more wave of Unleashed out this spring at Walmart. It will consist of, I think everyone knows it, it'll be two carry forwards, and the new one is the Shadow Trooper. There will be one more partial retool for Unleashed coming for a specialty retailer. Like an internet retailer, and that'll be later towards the end of the year. And then we're just in a wait and see mode. It's tough to make the financials work. They're so expensive, and the volume is relatively small, you know, compared to every. It's got a very small but very passionate following. So we're just trying to figure out how to make it work. And if we can, we will come back and look at more Unleashed. But right now, we're not committing to anything.
So you can actually hear in his voice that it kind of pains him to have to say, without really saying it, he's saying that they're done.
Yeah.
So looks like we have one more wave to look forward to in Walmart that's going to include a Shadow Trooper, which is essentially a Stormtrooper painted black.
Really? I still want it, though.
Which means I'm betting they're just going to take the Stormtrooper they have and paint him black.
They have.
And also, he indicated that there would be one more partial retooling on one for an exclusive to somebody, but I'm betting we don't know who that
he
is.
He said an internet retailer. So.
Right. So that could be anyone.
It could be anyone. Mm.
Well, that'll be interesting and a shame because and he's in a wait and see mode, he says, which is all but saying that they're done.
Right.
Because they're not cost effective. They're not apparently not selling as well as they would like.
Same
meanwhile,
as the Titaniums then.
What's that?
Same as the Titanium Star Wars that got canceled.
Yeah, well, good.
You know, I with that line, it was so. All of them were great. Don't get me wrong.
No.
But, I liked them all. But, you know, they suffer the same thing that every single line suffers, which is, you know, only certain ones just sell better than others. I mean, you know, Chewbacca clogged the pegs. That chick from the animated Clone Wars, whose name I can never remember, the Sith.
Yeah, that one. She's still in every
store. She's still, I mean, you can go in a KB right now and probably find about 20 of her just clogging the pegs. Hmm. It's just, you know, I think that was a poor character choice. So if that's what goes into their cost effectiveness, well, that was just a shitty choice.
Well, I think it's a shame because an $11 or $12 beautifully sculpted Star Wars statue, even if it's made of plastic, was shades better than, you know,
sure.
what we were getting.
Should have had
scale.
A much bigger mass market appeal for people who would plump for one Sideshow stroke Gentle Giant statue.
Right.
For $200, would happily buy 20 at $10 or $12 or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand why.
Beautiful pieces.
Even if they put out really one or two a year, would it really be not cost effective for them to put out one or two a year?
I don't know. I don't know. I guess I don't know that much about the sculpting costs and the prices of plastic to make.
Seems like one or two a year if they made them in really low numbers. Like anything else they make in low numbers would probably ballistic.
The problem though is if they
don't care about low numbers.
Yeah, if they make them in low numbers, they've got to jack the price. Because if they make them in low numbers, then they're not going to pull in as much at the $10 point range.
No.
They have to almost produce more in order to make more. And our final clip here is something that we pose to many of our friends, retailers and whatnot, not retailers, toy companies at Toy Fair. Although I think this might be the only one we actually got recorded.
I think we recorded Tonner, too.
Oh, did we get Tonner
as well?
So,
I think.
Mike Levy at Diamond, we asked him what was the future of the Firefly.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free, you can take the sky from me. Take me out to the black, tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. Take the sky from me.
The Firefly movie line.
Are you guys going to be doing anything else with Firefly or Serenity?
Well, we do have the River statue coming out. I'll be out in the spring. And if all goes well, we may have a couple more along the River statue line coming out later this year. So no action figures, but keep your eyes peeled for some other stuff.
So you guys, as far as action figures go, are kind of out of the Firefly and Serenity business?
For the most part, yeah. There's no plans for an action figure release for Serenity.
Mini-mates? No mini-mates?
Nope.
Really? No mini-mates? You have mini-mates for every movie in the world? I saw a sign for Rain Man mini-mates, but no Serenity Firefly ones?
Not as of yet.
So there you have it, of course. Mike telling us that there's some plans to do some more statuary stuff, but beyond that, I mean, you know it's bad when Diamond isn't even going to produce mini-mates.
That is just baffling to me. That is really just baffling to me.
And baffling to me, too. obviously, as I brought up the fact that we saw signs and posters for all the mini-mates that they have coming out, like Platoon and Rain Man and Desperately Seeking Susan and many others, yet they have a Firefly Serenity license and no mini-mates are coming.
And I'm pretty sure Joss would just go, yes, please do more toys, because he loves it so much.
Mm.
And the fans would just eat it up. I mean, it's the year of the mini-mate.
Yeah.
That's what I keep hearing.
There's a few coming out.
Just a few.
Well, I'd be happy with a couple other statues. I hope that they don't continue to do like River and Reaver statues. I hope that they, you know, maybe tackle a handful of other characters, like at the very least Mal.
Right.
Like, why you would not do a Mal statue is baffling to me.
I think they should.
Pretty sure he's kind of popular and quite sequential to the whole story.
Yeah, I think they should do a Wash Harpoon to the Chair statue, personally. I think that would be an excellent statue.
I'd want that, but I'd have to put it on my nightstand next to my bed and cry myself to sleep each night at the loss.
Poor
thing.
Pisses
me off.
Really?
Poor baby. Well, you know, we can always hold out hope that somebody's going to pick up the license and somebody's going to run with it.
Maybe.
And speaking of Firefly and Serenity, I think it's about time that we took a break. And we'll be right back with our very special guest. Matt, you have to check out our latest sponsor, In His Likeness.
In His Likeness is a non-denominational view of the gods and how they view us. With potshots at pop culture, geekdom, and good versus evil, over 250 strips about dots can't be wrong.
Yeah, they're really funny, too. Kind of just a bunch of weird dots, but they have their own sort of little universe, and I think they're really funny.
You can check them out at inhislikeness.com.
Wait, that was mine.
I know, but you threw off the flow.
Why aren't you doing some sort of riff thing? Told me to riff, I riffed.
Yeah, but we don't have anything else to say now other than when it's updated and when the website is. It's not an opinion piece. It's a ad.
Fine. You can check out In His Likeness at inhislikeness.com, conveniently. And it's updated 3 times a week, Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. InHisLikeness.com.
Greetings, Starfighter. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada.
Hey, this is Lance Guest from The Last Starfighter, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
It'll be a slaughter!
That's the spirit!
Hello, David Peterson.
Hello.
You are on Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you, sir, for providing us with a very interesting off-kilter book to read. We are humongous fans of your book, Mouse Guard, which has just wrapped its first story arc, and we were very excited to have you on the show here.
Well, thank you.
What can you tell us, David, what was your inspiration for doing Mouse Guard?
I'd kind of played around with the idea of doing a fantasy story with medieval animals, kind of more akin to Disney's Robin Hood. In an attempt to make it more serious, I wanted to make sure that the animals had predators of each other. So I wanted to establish what would be the biggest animal that I would have in this world and what would be the smallest. And the smallest were the mice. I thought, how am I going to keep these guys alive in this kind of predatory world? And so the idea for the guard itself came about. And after that, the rest of the characters seemed pretty dumb. So I stuck with the mice, and I haven't looked back.
And you're enjoying a lot of success with the book, we understand.
Yeah, it's doing great. Farther than I expected it to go. I didn't think that people would be interested in a square book about mice. But it's landed on a couple top 10 lists for 2006. It's being talked about on blogs and message boards all over. And we
should say that it isn't comic book sized, that it is a little shorter, a little wider. And, you know, again, that kind of adds to its mystique, if you will. And the illustrations inside also, and the storytelling, not really traditional. There's a lot of large panels of beautiful artwork. And it's very non-traditional in that sense, yet it seems to have picked up quite a following.
Yeah, people seem excited. First, I was getting some resistance from people saying, how do I bag and board this comic? You know, you made a comic that's impossible to preserve. But first of all, that's not true. magazine boards and bags work. They also fit in long boxes, so if you want to put them between your already bagged and board comics, that'll do it. I'm also a fan of reading comics as opposed to sealing them up. I mean,
right.
I appreciate wanting to make sure that, you know, they don't get kicked around. But as long as you put them on a shelf somewhere or put them in a long box, I don't think everything needs to be sealed and taped.
Yeah, we here at Big Kev's Geek Stuff, not a big fan of the comic coffin either.
Well, yeah, the ones that are encased, that doesn't make sense to me. Unless you truly are going to be, you know, donating that thing to the Smithsonian so that it can sit next to the Fonz's jacket and Archie Bunker's chair.
Exactly. And, you know, and considering the numbers of books that are being printed these days, I mean, really, are any of them going to end up in the Smithsonian? I rather doubt it.
Well, you never know. Part of the reason, I mean, from what I understand, the numbers of comics that were being published in the Golden Age was actually more than what's being published now in terms of print run. Because everybody and their little brother was buying comics, you know, for a dime down at the newsstand.
That's true. But
the reason that they're valuable is because everybody's moms threw them out.
That's right. And hopefully, with the war going on in Iraq, they won't ask us to start recycling paper.
Back then it was, you know, Johnny went off to war and mom cleaned out the attic.
Right.
Maybe that's going to start happening again. But.
Gosh, I hope not. A whole generation of comics lost again.
Yeah, that would stink.
So, David, your first arc of Mouse Guard is now over, and we understand that's going to be traded, and there's going to be some nice extras in the trade. Is that all true?
I'm still doing a little bit of the finishing touches on getting those extras ready, and getting that off to my publisher.
And then we're going to proceed into the second arc sometime in the fall, right?
It starts in July, I believe.
Oh, wow, so July.
Summer. Yeah.
Wow, okay, yeah. Cool. I know that you probably have already, so we're going to jump right on board and kiss your behind by saying that we saw your figures at Toy Fair. And they were excellent.
Good. I was involved with some of the design process in terms of approval. But I've only seen photos of them so far, and when they sent me the initial sculpt that they came up with, everything was so close to being ready. All of my complaints were very, very minor ones, and it just took a couple little tweaks, and I liked what I saw in the photos. But you've beaten me to seeing them in real life.
Ha! We were first.
You beat me. This weekend I'm going to get to do that in New York, so I'm looking forward to seeing those guys and getting to touch that plushie.
So you want to cut
them. Held.
Yeah. They really do look amazing, David. They really are impressive pieces, and I can't wait to have them. But you are going to be at New York Comic Con this weekend?
Yeah, I am.
Awesome.
Yep. I'm going to be at the RKO booth.
Do you know the booth number?
Ooh, I don't.
That's okay. We'll
walk around until I found.
Well, listen, if you're excited about Mouse Guard and you want to meet David Peterson, you'll find out where that art. Now, how do you pronounce it? Archaea?
Archaea, yeah.
Okay, because we've been saying Archaea. So, Archaea, you'll find that Archaea booth and you'll find David Peterson there.
Archaea Studios Press.
Yes, Archaea Studios Press. That's
anybody
right.
Anybody going, they can find it in the Comic-Con brochure, I'm sure.
Oh, there you go.
I'm sure.
And, you know, we'll be there as well, David. So as soon as we figure out where you are, we will send
Are you going to be in Artist Alley?
No. I'm going to be at my publisher's booth.
So you're going right over to the publisher's booth. Okay, we'll find you there. We'll find you there,
stacks
David.
Stacks of comics to sell to people.
Are and, you guys going to be in the podcasting alley?
Actually, no. We're special, so we'll be in Artist Alley.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how on earth that ended up happening, but we'll be in Artist Alley.
You'll get all the exclusives.
Exactly.
Ooh, yes. Chat.
Hopefully. We're very excited, as we said, to talk to you and to talk about Mouse Guard. We should say also that in addition to the second arc, it looks like they're planning more figures as well.
We had hoped. I was told that it was going to depend on sales. That, you know, if things looked good, then they would proceed with more of the characters.
Well, let's hope so, because if the first three are any indication, I mean, there definitely should be more of these done.
Cool. Yeah, I'm dying to see Kellanaw, the old mouse with the shoulder pad armor. I'm dying to see him as a 3D model.
Now, David, before I allow you your last word, David, you will be sketching at Comic-Con, right?
That's the plan.
Okay, good, because as our listeners know, Big Kev's sketchbooks. Famous for having the best sketches from the best talent, and I certainly want to add a David Peterson to that book. So,
wow, thank you.
Yeah, actually, we had John Romita Jr. was on our XM show, our XM pilot, and he actually did a sketch live on the show on the Pal Talk cameras, which is kind of an internet viewing system, and everyone was able to watch him sketch Daredevil and Spider-Man, a big two-pager in my book. So yeah, I'll show it to you when I bring my book to you to sketch in. So
it's always cool to see people do the work as they go too. That's a neat process to watch.
It is. It's definitely a neat process. That's why we put it on the cameras there, so that everyone can have a look into how these guys do this. But David, now that I've made my pitch to get my sketch, are there any? You have any final words on Mouse Guard or things that we can look forward to in series two? Any tidbits for the listeners here?
Well, series two is going to pick up almost right after. The events of the first series. It's going to be set in the winter, which is a pretty harsh time for characters who don't wear pants to be outdoors in anyhow.
Or shoes.
And, or shoes, that's right. And they're going to be dealing with some other big issues. There's been some politics stuff that happened during the fall that they weren't aware of that means food distribution didn't happen the way it should. And there's towns that are short on food most of all themselves, and I can't promise that everybody's going to survive this round.
Oh, boy. No. Oh, boy. Well, that's David Peterson. His book is Mouse Guard. You can pick up the issues now. If you're lucky, you may still be able to get them all. If you're not lucky, you'll want to pick up the trade. No, that didn't come out right. If you're if you're not lucky enough to get the individual issues, you can look forward to the trade of the first story arc. When is that coming, David?
That's coming in April.
April. You can pick up that trade in April. You can also meet David Peterson at New York Comic Con. He'll be at the Archaea Studios press booth. Mm-hmm. And, David, it's been a pleasure speaking with you, and thanks for allowing us to talk about your stuff on the show here.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me on the show, guys.
And when are you going to be at Comic-Con, David? Are you going to be there?
Friday.
Oh, you will
Friday,
be there.
Saturday, Sunday.
Friday, huh?
Yeah.
In the morning, in the early part, when only the special people can get in?
I feel like I'm being stalked. I'm going to be getting there when the show opens, yeah.
I don't want to say that, you know, that I'm stalking you, David, but I have been trying to meet you since issue one. And I think I actually did run into you one time. And
oh, yeah?
I said, are you going to be over at your booth? And you said, yes. Now, I can't remember if this was at San Diego.
So I met you in San Diego. You're going to tell me that I was a liar, right?
No, I would never. I would never call you a liar before you did a sketch for me.
Okay, good.
No, I would only wait till after you did the sketch to then call you a liar. So, no, but you're not a liar. You're a great guy, and your book is beautiful, well written. Everybody, we're recommending it. We have been recommending it since issue one, mm-hmm. and we're going to recommend to all of our listeners if you want to pick up an interesting, different kind of book, fantasy based, just unique, really. Kind of book, you're going to want to pick up Mouse Guard by David Peterson. Visit him at New York Comic Con. David, thanks so much.
Thank you, guys.
Matt, you have to check out our latest sponsor, the upcoming comic book Shadow Flame from Arcana Studios.
Shadow Flame is written and drawn by Joe Martino and is a story of murder, suicide, genocide, and rebirth on a cosmic scale. It is a story of redemption and a man who has nothing to lose and becomes Earth's only hope.
So ask for Shadow Flame at your local comics retailer coming this February.
For more information, you can go to arcanastudio.com. That's ArcanaStudio.com.
Shadow Flame from Arcana Studios.
Rosario Dawson from Clerks 2, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And we're back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 47. Sound bites.
Yes.
A lot of audio that we collected at Toy Fair. And
a live phoner.
With David Peterson of Mouse Guard. Excellent book.
It really is.
He's a great guy. I can't wait to hang out with him this weekend at New York Comic Con.
You know, I know he said that he was enamored with the mice, but I would be interested to see his take, perhaps, on the rest of this universe that he's created. At some point in the future.
You mean in 3D?
No, I mean, actually, I mean in the book. He kind of said that he was going for this predatorial, you know, animal-related thing, and he was thinking about the different animals, and he kind of settled on, and, well, not settled on, but he focused on the mice. But
There's
this entire rich universe, I'm guessing, that he's developed,
at least in
his head, and I'd like to see him pursue some of the other characters.
Well, there's a few creatures in the book. There's cats and there's the big crab.
Well, we'll see.
I guess we'll see
in the second volume of the second story arc.
Coming this summer.
Sure.
Coming in July, yeah.
Yes.
We're right now going to play for you something from Toy Fair, like our earlier soundbites. This one's a bit longer.
A bit.
It's our interview with Robert Tonner from the Tonner Figure Company. And these are the guys who have been doing the great Harry Potter pieces, as well as they've started their DC line now.
Right.
With Wonder Woman and Supergirl.
Being the first two
of many to come.
Yes.
And we did see some more things at Toy Fair that we discuss in this interview with Robert Tonner. And away we go.
So we're here at Toy Fair with Robert Tonner.
Very exciting.
The mastermind behind the Tonner. Now we're calling it Tonner Figure Company.
Character figures.
Tonner Character Figures, right. And we are seeing some amazing things here at the show. Not the least of which, can we talk about the one in the corner that we were looking at?
Yeah.
Spider-Man 3.
Very, very exciting. Peter Parker looks awesome. Awesome.
And there's also a prototype red and blue Spider-Man, and we hear from our pal Tom that there's going to be a black one also.
Absolutely. We just have to figure out the production issues with those costumes, but yeah, we're tackling it. I can't wait to do that one. The black one is very exciting.
Robert, you've been doing kind of these fashion dolls for, let's say, ever. And what made you decide to start going after the more geek licenses?
Well, I'm a geek. That's it.
Heard it here. Tom, Robert Tonner, geek.
Everybody that knows me knows that's, you know, so that's no scoop. I did the fashion dolls were easier for me to get into. We did a porcelain Superman and Lois Lane a few years ago. And I love doing it. I love working with DC and all this. But it just porcelain was not the right thing to have Superman in. I wanted
the man of porcelain.
Right. I wanted the action figure sort of movement. And, you know, I had to get to the point where I could afford the molding and the licensing to do it the way I wanted to do it. And we're to that point now. The fashion dolls, I love that. You know, I have a great staff who loves the fashion and, you know, we've built a business on that. But, you know, I couldn't wait to get my hands on the DC characters, the Marvel characters, and, well, you know, and other things, too, Harry Potter, and do it in our way.
Well, Harry Potter is really what drew Matt and I in last year. Last year, Tonner, as you guys know or may not know, Tonner introduced their Harry Potter line, uh-huh. And we were overwhelmed by that.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of the highlights of Toy Fair for us last year. I think we featured it on the show immediately, featured it on our websites that we were running at the time immediately, and it's been a great launch into this industry for them.
Yeah, a great kind of open door for you to come in and start doing some more of stuff for us, as we like to call it.
We had the Toy Fair booth last year that was geared more toward our doll retailers and stuff like this. So it's kind of sweetness and light, you know. And, but all of a sudden we had these, you know, these
geeks.
Yeah, and the cool dudes also coming into the booth and looking at stuff, and they never would have come into our booth before. So
certainly true.
We were thrilled about that. We were thrilled about that. Because, you know, I love action figures, but I also, you know, I wanted to take that one step a little further. So it's the removable clothes, it's hair where hair is appropriate, that sort of thing.
That's excellent. And now you've started on your DC line. We have some ladies of DC on display. We're going to be actually, I think by the time this airs, we'll have talked about Wonder Woman and Supergirl.
Definitely.
What are your plans going ahead for DC?
Well, you know, it's I'd hope to have Superman here. You know, and I plan to do Batman and the Joker this year. We just introduced Batgirl, so she's out.
I'm sorry, I had to squeal like a girl when you said the Joker, because as all the listeners know, I am a Jokerphile, and every single thing that comes out with the Joker must be mine, and I must monitor it through its creation process. And so I will say this to you, Robert. Where are you drawing your inspirations from on the Joker?
Well, I was going to ask you, where should I draw my inspiration on the Joker? Yeah, we have, of course, reference from DC, but, you know, and I want an iconic version to start out with of the Joker. So I have to see where. So I'll give you a call, and you can tell me where.
There you go. You heard it. I'm working with Robert Tonner. My name will appear on the box as a creative consultant for the Joker figure, as it should be. You're also doing Harley Quinn also.
I'm not so probably. Probably.
We'll take probably.
Yes, we'll probably do them all.
So right now, in addition to what we have on display here, we can look forward to Batman and Superman. And Superman's easy. Which do you know which direction you're going to go with Batman?
Again, it's going to be that kind of 60s, 70s, 80s sort of iconic version for right now. That's the way I want to start. And then, you know, I see room to go back and... For the super women, you know, I want to re-sculpt the body. I want to, you know, do a more contemporary body for it. Right now it's kind of a fashion figure body, but I want to do that. Superman is a whole new mold, so he's more along the lines of where I would go with the women, too. So the second go-around will be, a new sculpt and that sort of thing for those. So we'll do another Wonder Woman a couple of years down the road, but it'll be in a different sort of...
Right. And what can you tell us about, are there any other licenses that you're going after that you'd like to tell us about today?
Well, definitely the Marvel stuff excites me. I mean, I love Spider-Man, always have, and I think we got a great likeness of Tobey Maguire there. So we have not only the Peter Parker, but we'll have Spider-Man. We have Gwen and Mary Jane coming out. Pirates of the Caribbean is kind of exciting for us.
Now you're doing Pirates. When are they hitting? Now, as that was Matt's girlish shriek that you may have heard in the background when he heard Pirates of the Caribbean. What's going on with the Pirates line?
We probably should have samples out sometime late spring of that. And you know, we have likeness rights, so it's Johnny Depp and Keira Knightley, and we'll probably do Orlando Bloom later in the year. So I'm very excited about that.
Now this is going to get a little personal here. So I don't want to have to get on my knees in front of everybody here, but we rushed out of the house this morning because we were running late. We're from New Jersey. We live in New Jersey. And we had planned on bringing you something special today because we understand, and we're going to ask you to talk a little more about this. We understand that you have a show in Florida, a Tonner Collectors convention. Can you tell us a little about that?
No. No, yes, I can. Yes, 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 yes.
It's highly secret.
We've done the convention 3 or 4 years in a row now, but this is the first year where we're going to feature a DC. We have a DC
exclusive.
Yes, for that convention. It's Aquaman will be there, but we'll have a Mira will be the limited edition special.
Right.
For that convention,
Robert. I can't make it to the Florida convention. And I was told by one of your assistants that, obviously Tom said, oh, you know, Kev, we should be able to get you the exclusive piece. However, one of your assistants said that if I brought you a nice batch of brownies, that you might consider making sure that in some way I might be able to get the centerpiece from the convention.
I might, but I don't see any brownies.
I know. So if I have to run out of here and buy some brownies today, if I have to deliver them up to your corporate office, can you tell us a little bit about the centerpiece? Because I think that is absolutely incredible.
Oh, you're going to tax my knowledge here. But we're doing a wonderful seahorse. It's going to be a resin seahorse that this 17-inch Aquaman can stand on and ride. Yeah, so it's amazing. And I think it'll probably be less than 100 pieces.
Right, and one, of course, to me. So...
brownies.
Oh, believe me, you'll be choking in brownies. You'll be up to your neck in brownies, if that's what it takes. We want to thank Robert Tonner for taking some time out of his busy day to sit down and talk with us.
Definitely, Robert. Again, this has been a highlight of Toy Fair for us. We're almost wrapped up at this point now after 2.5 long days. And I can't wait to see what you guys got coming out.
Yeah, we're very excited. Yeah. Any final words?
No, come take a look at our products, and I think, I think you'll like them.
It's Tonner.com, right?
We have Tonner Direct and TonnerDoll.com.
TonnerDoll.com. Check it out. And... yeah, we're excited. We can't wait to see what's coming next. Matt, in addition to all the great features already available on the home site, BigKevsGeekStuff.com, we have now created a forum so that fans of this show can listen and interact with each other.
Some of the forums include discussions about individual episodes, toys and action figures, comic books, TVs and movies, and other random bits of goodness that you may find online.
The fans of Geek Stuff can now interact with each other, talk about episodes, talk about things that we're discussing on the show, get their own opinions out there. Yeah. Now fans will be able to drop their show ideas right on the forum.
So check out the Geek Stuff forums by going to BigKevsGeekStuff.com and clicking on the forums link.
Yeah, let them fight amongst themselves. We got enough stuff to do.
Hey! Hello, this is Pee Wee Herman.
I know you are, but what am I?
And you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Why? What's the significance? I don't know!
And we're back with Geek Stuff, episode 47.
You sure?
Almost positive.
I have to go back and correct that now, you know.
Yeah, that's
because
all right.
I said 46. This was 46, and that last week's was Valentine's Day was 45. So
yeah, no.
So if you're listening to this and it sounded a little odd, that's because I pasted 47 in. So it's like that episode of The Simpsons, was the Camp Krusty episode, where they have Krusty the Clown going, you know, introing the kids of the camp on TV. Yeah. And it's like, all right, kids, and now I'm going to turn it over to my good friend, Mr. Black, so he can continue, you know, like it was really obviously faked.
That's a pretty
in there.
Krusty.
You're going to cut and paste as bad as the Return of Chef.
Yeah, I don't know what you just said, dude.
The Return of Chef in South Park.
Oh, yes, okay. It took a few times, but...
Speaking proper English.
Taters.
Yes, indeed.
Taters.
We all practiced.
Taters.
Well, hello, Kavna.
There you go.
Uh-huh. A hobbit speaks.
Indeed.
Nice hobbity.
I can't... You know, I wish I wasn't sick, because, you know, I do a killer golem.
You do a pretty good golem.
And I'm sick. It'll just... I can't even...
Well,
I can't even...
Well, Matt's going to be with us for XM, so you know.
Oh, that's true.
If you're feeling better on Saturday,
yeah, maybe I can do a
burn
bit,
them live
a bit of golem on that.
Get some good liquids down your throat to heal it and stuff. And you'll
be oh, hey, that's personal.
Mm-hmm. What did we do on the sort of off kilter show today, episode 47?
We kind of did a bunch of sound clips this episode.
Uh huh.
We started out with a handful of sound clips from Hasbro. Two that specifically addressed Marvel licensing, the movie lines, scale changes, stuff like that. And then we had a clip that specifically focused on Star Wars.
That was Daryl DePriest, the director of marketing of Boys Toys, who I think is overseeing the Star Wars line himself.
Doing a good job.
I agree.
I think he's probably doing the best job over there out of all of the people we spoke to, at the very least. The Star Wars line consistently seems to be the
getting
most...
better.
Yeah, it really is probably the best line that they have still, which is still baffling. After those clips, we had our interview with David Peterson from Mouse Guard.
That's true, we did. And you can check out Mouse Guard, the single issues. The first arc of six is done. The trade is coming in April, and figures coming in... I don't know when the figures
summer.
Are coming. Did he say
summer? Fall, I think.
Yeah. July is the start of the second arc. Well, let's hope it's sometime sooner than
around
later.
Around then it'll be good, yeah.
Yeah.
You can also meet David this weekend at New York Comic Con. He will be at the Arkea Studios Press booth all weekend. He did say he will be doing sketches. So get your books out.
And get in line behind me.
And get
make
behind
sure you buy some comics first.
That's right, exactly. You should, yeah. And the trade's going to be very exciting on that.
Yeah, actually... I don't have the individual issues. I missed a handful of them.
Why would you buy them when you could just read mine?
Because I'm going to buy the trade.
Dirty, cheap bastard.
No, you know, I really changed my collection to mostly trades at this
point
anyway.
To mostly reading things that I buy.
No, to trades. So I'll just buy the trade when it comes out.
Buy my, you know, just read my things.
We then had we played a lovely interview with Robert Tonner from Tonner Inc.
Robert Tonner, one of our favorite businessmen out there. Mm-hmm. He's doing a fine product. We support his foray into our genre.
We have
since the beginning. And we're looking forward to see what comes next from the Tonner Figure Company.
Certainly. And I think we were going to briefly talk about something Matt brought with him tonight also, weren't we?
Yes, let's talk. What special prizes did you bring us
something
from...
A little bit-
your island nation.
Across the pond, the homeland.
Yes, yes. Exactly.
I bought you some Marvel Bears, B-E-A-R-Z. They're like 4-inch teddy bears, all the same style, a bit like your Japanese designer vinyl toys, but done of the Marvel style. So you
right.
get all your favorite Marvel characters.
Yes, they're Marvel Bears, like Matt said, done in the vinyl style. They have a variety of characters.
Made by Piranha Studios in the UK, who've done Bad Taste Bears, which I'm sure people over here will.
Oh yeah, on. Bad Taste Bears.
They were in.
They're available at Spencer's.
Yes.
Yeah, Spencer's. I was going to say I have one or two of those in my personal collection. So.
And they feature characters like Mr. Fantastic,
Wee.
Cyclops, Wolverine, Bullseye, Carnage, Punisher, Hulk, Beast, Galactus, Colossus, Spider-Man, Venom, and Captain America. And these are available only in the UK.
Yep, they've only got a UK license.
Aw, too bad.
That's a shame.
Only we'll have them. Ha 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 ha.
I'm sure people, listeners in the US, can find pictures.
And yes.
They're on actionfigure.com, who I work for.
Of course.
And then you can also probably find links. If you look online with the old magic of Google or any other search engine, not advertising just one, to buy them online in the UK or look on eBay. They are on there.
Right. If you go to automaticcomics.com with two T's.
No, .co.uk.
.uk, is that what it is?
Yeah, because I'm in the UK.
Is it AUTOMATT? No, I've got it wrong.
AUTOMATTComics.co.uk. Automatic with two T's in it, because I am Matt.
Well, which one, though? There's already two T's in it, isn't
there? So it spells Matt.
AUTOMATT, Matt, IC, .uk.
The clever people get it.
Automatic.uk.
Right.
.co.uk.
No, .co.uk.
Will you be able to purchase these bears?
No, they are not available in my store.
Oh, not available.
Too bad. But they are lovely.
And we have them. Ha, 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 ha.
5 points of articulation.
Ooh, five.
Yeah, well,
that's approaching Marvel Legends status, really.
Crazy insane.
Yep.
So check those out. They're really cool. It's too bad they're not going to be available in the US.
I'm sure people in the US will be able to find their ways of getting them, same as they were with their lovely new Harry Potter toys that are better than the ones you're getting.
Well, I don't know about that, but they're certainly
pretty good. But pretty, I don't know about
you're getting
better.
Statues. We're getting toys.
You know what? I think both of them complement each other very nicely, and as a Harry Potter collector, you should strive to have both.
Yes.
Thankfully, we have you to send us those 3 3/4, 4 inch, or whatever Hasbro's calling them these days.
Yeah, exactly.
12 inch, yeah.
That's 12 inch. Super articulated 12 inch.
No, they are really nice pieces that are coming out.
And on that note,
cue the music.
No, look for us at New York Comic Con this weekend. We'll be there mostly Saturday and Sunday, featuring the first con appearance of Mr. Fantastic.
It's true. Ooh. It's true.
His debut.
Yes.
In a comic book convention.
Come and get
Fantastic.
Your
are you are you excited about your appearance this weekend?
Yes.
Will you be signing autographs, Mr. Fantastic?
Both of my hands are broken. So yes.
You nice. Stretched them too much.
Why did you make me get up?
Poor baby had to do some work today. Aw.
In addition to seeing us at New York Comic Con this weekend, you can also hear us this Saturday night on XM Satellite Radio, Channel 202, The Virus, from 11 p.m. to midnight.
Matt from AutomaticComics.com, thank you very much for being a part of the show. If you want to say hi to Matt and talk to him about why his country is inferior to your country, he'll have a bright pink mohawk.
Red.
Bright pink mohawk, and he'll be walking around New York Comic Con all weekend. I'm sure you can find him at our booth. We will be in Artist Alley somewhere. I don't know how the hell we ended up there.
I don't know either.
We're glad to be there,
though.
We're glad to promote this wonderful con, New York Comic Con 2.
Yes,
which has sold out.
That's what I keep hearing. The pre-sale tickets are
pre-sale
are
tickets
sold.
In Forbidden Planet and Hanley's, Jim Hanley's Universe, are sold out.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure Midtown have sold out of weekend tickets as well. You can still get Sunday tickets, though, as far as I'm aware.
So it's going to be another wacko show. Yeah.
Excellent, though. That's what I love.
And that's going to be it for us. Tune in to XM.
And on that note, we cue the music.